We pray that you were blessed by this message. For more information about Covenant Community Church, please contact us at media@covenantcc.net or visit us online at covenantcc.net.
How many of you would be interested in going with me to Jerusalem in a year? Let me see hands. You need to. You will never read the Bible the same way again your whole life. Ever. All right, let's go to Matthew chapter 23. I want to work on my sermon for Sunday. And I really thought, God, what do I say? Because there's 10,000 things on my mind tonight that I could say. Pictures, I got thousands of pictures I want to show you, but I'm going to wait and let it gel, and then I'll show you. Not this coming Wednesday, because we close down for Wednesday night services for fall break or spring break, so you can spend time with your family. But the next Wednesday, which will be the Wednesday preceding Easter, Easter services will be Saturday at 5:30, Sunday at 9, and Sunday at 10:45. But that Wednesday night, we're in a little conundrum because we've been playing with this caterer in Madisonville who's canceled two events on us and has acted like a tail on the other one. And we will never use that caterer ever again in this church. But they threw us underneath the bus for the third time. How many of you know three strikes, you're out? I will never use that caterer again. So we had that book since August. And anyway, it is what it is. We're still going to go along. I'm going to be teaching on the Passover, and we will have some kind of food that's related to the Passover Wednesday night of Easter. Just help me pray, and LaDonna may need your help on. So just get ready, you, Mom, and the rest of you. But it's not brain science, Passover meal. But how many of you would like to come in here on the week of Passover and experience what Jesus and the 12 disciples experienced? I was in that very room this week. Matter of fact, I never knew this, that room, according to some pretty good history, is the same room in which the 120 went to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Same place there. So you don't want to miss, you're going to come in here that Wednesday, not next Wednesday, but the next Wednesday. It'll be round tables, and we're going to have the Passover meal together. It's going to be exciting, and you'll understand Passover like you've never understood it before. Let me kind of set this up. Go to Matthew chapter 23, verse 1. Matter of fact, I want you to do something different. Just a second. I want you to go to Matthew chapter 5 first. Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. It's where the Beatitudes happen. I was at that actual place. They know where it's at. There's little doubt at all that it's not the right place. One of the ways you know, they built a church there, you know. But I saw a lot of things. I saw Jerusalem that Jesus wept over. I saw Israeli soldiers with machine guns constantly. I saw Muslims who hated Jews. I saw Armenian Christians who hated Christians. People think Jerusalem is just Jewish. Wrong. Jerusalem is divided into four quarters. Armenian, who are Christians, Christians, Jews, and Muslims. Those four entities make up Jerusalem, and all four of them have trouble living with each other. The Christians have trouble living with the Armenian Christians. The Armenian Christians have trouble with the Muslims. The Muslims have trouble with the Jews. The Jews have trouble with the Christians. They all have trouble with each other. But it's a very peaceful place, but you also know that you can clearly see and feel what the Bible says, that that city is going to rock and roll one day. It's a powder keg. And that is a biblical thing. We'll let God worry about that. But the one thing that really caught me off guard, because I went on that trip saying, God, help me to be a better teacher this year to this church. And boy, have I got some insight for this year for you. But what I saw bothered me. The Wailing Wall. If you see that Wailing Wall where the Jews, Hasidic Jews, will go and they will rock back and forthwards. Many of them have black coats on. And that isn't really an old form of Judaism. It actually goes to the 18th century. They have the black hats. They have the pigtails because they read something in Scripture where you weren't supposed to cut your hair a certain way. So they let their hair grow down. It looks like pigtails. they will sit there and they will rock back and forthwards with a prayer shawl on in this long black coat, or sit down and study the Talmud, or sit down and study the Torah. And they're honestly some of the meanest people you'll ever meet in your life. And I thought, my God, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we cast out devils in your name? And Jesus looks at them and says, am I supposed to know you? I thought, what a horrible, horrific nightmare to spend your whole life in church, going to the temple, praying every day without ceasing, washing and keeping yourself clean, not cussing, not watching dirty movies, coming to the temple every time it's open, and still go to hell and have no concept at all of grace or mercy. And that's what I've had a front row seat at watching this week. They will sit there and they'll do these things, but if a woman were to walk in there, because men and women are separate from in the wailing wall, and had any part of their shoulders uncovered, they'd scream at you. Walk into the tomb of David, which I did, and you'll see Hasidic Jews sitting over there, and ask them a question and watch them angrily chew you out in front of everyone. And I thought, to go through all this and miss it? Miss it? It's one thing to miss it and be a prostitute. It's one thing to miss it and be a drug dealer. It's one thing to miss it and be sexually screwed up. But to miss it and be in here? To miss it and be at church every time the doors is open, and be at prayer meeting and be part of worship and miss it? That's really screwed up. And so that's what I want to talk to you tonight about, because that's what I've seen, and I'm going to set up Sunday morning's sermon, and don't miss that, because it's highly illustrated, and it's going to be like a defibrillator that hits your heart with the Holy Ghost Sunday. So prepare yourself. You're going to get defibrillators. You're going to get shocked in your heart Sunday. In Matthew chapter 3, it says something. I've been there. And it says Jesus' first speech. And I just want to read it to you. Matthew chapter 3. Let's go there first. Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. Here's the first speech Jesus ever gave. When he saw the crowds, he went up to the mountain. That's actually a mountain that looks, watch my hands. Here's the Sea of Galilee, and there's a mountain that goes like this, and there's a mountain that goes like that. It literally builds the perfect megaphone still to this day. Jesus was no fool. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him, and then he began to teach them. Blessed are the poor in spirit, because the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Blessed are those who mourn, because they will be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, because they will inherit the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who are hungry and thirst for righteousness, because they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, because they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, because they will see God. How many of you want to see God? Say amen. Blessed are the peacemakers, because they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those that are persecuted by little Muslim children when they curse you out with great vulgarity for righteousness' sake, because the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you and falsely say every evil kind of thing because of me. Be glad and rejoice, because your reward is great in heaven, for that is how they persecuted the prophets who were before you. In other words, it says, blessed are the merciful, for they will inherit the kingdom of God. Blessed are those that are pure in heart. Blessed are those that mourn. Blessed are those that are poor in spirit. Blessed are those that are peacemakers. Blessed are those that are persecuted. Blessed are those kind of people. How many of you want to live a blessed life? Say amen. This was Jesus' first sermon on the Mount, his introduction to his doctrine. Now go and look at his last sermon. Go to Matthew chapter 23. And in Matthew chapter 23, verse 1, this is rather lengthy. Follow along with me. In Matthew chapter 23, verse 1, it's his last sermon to the multitudes. The Sermon on the Mount was the first sermon to the multitudes on how to be blessed. It was about, he was talking to people who wanted to live right, people who didn't just want to pray, but they wanted to pray with God's Spirit. There's a lot of ringing up here. And there he wanted to be, you know, he wanted to teach people how to live right that wanted to live right. But what was his last sermon? His last sermon was to people who were in that very group who did not live right and thought they were living right. They did the right thing in the wrong way. Then Jesus spoke to the crowds and to his disciples, and the scribes and the Pharisees were seated in the chair of Moses. Therefore, do whatever they tell you. And listen to what Jesus says to the Pharisees. The scribes and the Pharisees are seated in the chair of Moses. Therefore, do what they tell you and observe it, but don't do what they do, because they don't practice what they teach. They tie up heavy loads that are hard to carry, legalism, and they put them on people's shoulders, but they themselves are unwilling to lift a finger to help move a burden off of another human being. They do everything to be observed by others. They enlarge their phylacteries. And let me, everybody look up here. A phylactery comes from Deuteronomy 28, where God says in Deuteronomy to our children, tell them why you're walking, tell them why you're teaching, tell them why you're getting ready to go to a baseball game. Always teach your children the word of God, your grandchildren the word of God, as you go about in life. Okay? And so Pharisees and Hasidic Jews take it a lot farther. They take it so far that they took phylacteries, which is a little piece of scripture in a leather box, and when God said in Deuteronomy, put it on your head, put it on your arms, put it on your shoulders, when you walk, when you go, and they take the, literally, and so they take the Bible, the Torah, and they put it on their head, and they tie it around their head. That's a phylactery. Then they'll turn it and put it on their left arm. Why their left arm? Because the left arm is closest to the heart. God said, keep the word of God close to your heart. So they tie the word of God on their left arm, which is closest to their heart. And they'll walk. They also have the prayer shawls on. The longer the tassels, the tzitz, the more holy or respected you are in Judaism. You'll see some with short ones. You'll see some with long ones. There's 631 strands on a real prayer shawl because there's 631 commands that the Jewish, the Hasidic Jews, believe that God wants you to obey him by. And they'll take something is where God says tithe, and rather than tithe 10% of your income, which God does say, they'll turn around and also go to their garden, take out 10 tomatoes, remove one, keep 9 for themselves. They'll go to their spices, and Jesus talked about this. They go to their spices, and they'll take something as little as cumin, and they'll remove 9 pieces of cumin and put one over here and tithe the one. They take what's true to an extent that brings bondage to them and legalism to them. And so Jesus says, you like to enlarge your phylacteries and lengthen your tassels, which means you like to make sure people see you keep the word of God on your head and on your arm. So you make them larger. And you want to lengthen your tassels so everyone will respect you. They love the place of honor at banquets, the front seats in the synagogues, greeting in the marketplaces, and be called rabbi by the people. But as for you, do not be called rabbi, because you have one teacher, didasko, capital T, and you are all brothers. Do not call anyone on earth your father, because you have one father, capital F in the Greek, who is in heaven. And do not be called master either, because you have one master, capital M, the Messiah. The greatest amongst you must be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Now watch this. It's going to take a little time today. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites. And so Jesus now gives 8 woes. when in Matthew 3 he gave 8 admonitions to be blessed. Now he's given 8 woes. The word woe there is a Greek word which means sadness, distress, grieving. It means you're in trouble and I'm trying to help you and there's no hope for you. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites. You lock up the kingdom of heaven from people. You lock up the kingdom of heaven from people. For you don't go in and you don't allow those entering to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites. You devour widows' houses and make long prayers just for a show. This is why you will receive a harsher punishment. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites. You travel over land and sea to make a proselyte, and when he becomes one, you make him twice as fit for hell as you are. Talk about some closing words. Woe to you, blind guides, who say, whoever takes an oath by the sanctuary. Now you got to realize, watch this for a minute. In Judaism, in the temple, you could take oaths, and in Old Testament Judaism, you were to take an oath, but to take an oath to say, I swear by the temple in Jerusalem, meant nothing. But if you said, I swear by the temple in Jerusalem from the east, it meant everything. Just craziness like that of adding rules to things that the Bible would say. But whoever takes an oath by the gold of the sanctuary is bound by his oath. See there? In other words, you can take the menorah in the temple was pure gold. And so you take an oath by the gold menorah. So help me, by the gold menorah in the temple. Then, oh, that was something. But if you said, I swear by the temple, it meant nothing. And so that's what Jesus is saying here. He's saying, whoever takes an oath by the altar, it means nothing. But whoever takes an oath by the gift that is on it is bound by the oath. Blind people, exclamation mark. For which is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifies the gift? Therefore, the one who takes an oath by the altar takes an oath by it and by everything on it. The one who takes an oath by the sanctuary takes an oath by it and by him who dwells in it. In other words, let me show you up here. You see this furniture? You're taking an oath by the sanctuary. You take an oath, you say, by the gold. So help me, by the menorah, the gold and the menorah, I told you the truth. That meant something to a Jew. But so help me, by the temple, I promise, I take an oath by the temple. It meant nothing to a Jew. And Jesus is saying, your problem is you need to realize that the one that's in the temple is the one you're taking an oath by. That's what he's saying there. He's using temple language there very clearly. Now keep reading with me. And then he says, verse 22, and the one who takes an oath by the heaven takes an oath by God's throne and by him who sits on it. Verse 23, woe again to you scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You pay a tenth of mint, dill, and cumin. Remember me telling you about that a second ago? Yet you have neglected the more important matters of justice, mercy, and faith. You separate your spices and tithe off your spices, but you have no love to your neighbor. And the one thing that you can clearly see when you go into those environments is that these tens of thousands of people are praying every day. They're doing everything that is right, but at the end of the day, there's no love, there's no mercy, and there's no grace in their life at all. And this is what Jesus saw. And he says, there's no justice, mercy, or faith. These things should have been done without neglecting the others. He says, don't stop tithing, but if you tithe and you don't love your neighbor, you're still missing it. He says, you blind guides. He uses the word blind 4 times. You strain in a gnat and you gulp down a camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites. You clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside you're full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisees, first clean the inside of the cup so that the outside may be also clean. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites. You are like whitewashed tombs, which appear beautiful on the outside, but inside you're dead men's bones and and full of every impurity. In the same way, on the outside, you seem like you're righteous people. You pray, you go to temple, you're at church. Every time the church doors open, you're doing everything right. You don't go to dirty movies. You don't say cuss words. You don't drink at all. You do all these things that are supposedly right, but at the end of the day, you're going to hell because you don't have a personal relationship with me. And the way that I know you don't have a personal relationship with me is because there's no love, there's no mercy, there's no grace in your life. And he says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you're like these whitewashed tombs. You're full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Woe to you, verse 29. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You build the tombs of the prophets like David. Okay, there's a big tomb there of David. And you decorate monuments of righteousness. And I saw a Jew. And matter of fact, let me explain this to you. In Jerusalem, there is the tomb of David, David the king. And one of the people that we walked in there, and there's a Hasidic Jew in there. He's got his prayer shawl on. He's got his pigtails. He's got his covered with tzitz, and he's got his farkalitz there and here, and he's doing everything right on the outside. And he's walking back and forth. Well, over to the right of the tomb of David, they have these tables, and if you'll look at the Wailing Wall, you'll notice that people just don't wail in front of the wall. They'll sit down in chairs that people provide for them, and they'll study the Torah. So here are these really religious people sitting there, rocking back and forth, reading the Bible without ceasing, and the Torah, reading it out loud, praying to God without ceasing. And when a human walks up, that's another human being. They're unkind, and one of the people in our group asked a simple question, and they went off and chewed them out in front of everybody and yelled and screamed at them. And I'm not just talking about, like, get out of here. They screamed in a mean way. I mean, I just wish there's no words to explain how disrespectful to another human being, how cruel and harsh these people were. I mean, it's just incredible. And so Jesus says, you build the tombs of the prophet and decorate the monuments of righteousness. And you say, if we'd lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have taken part with them in shedding the prophet's blood. You therefore testify against yourself that you are the sons of those who murdered these prophets. Fill up then the measure of your father's sin. Your snakes, your blood, your brood of vipers, how can you escape from being condemned to hell? This is why I'm sending you the prophets, the sages, and the scribes. Some of you will kill and crucify them, and you will flog them in your synagogues and hound from town to town. So all the righteous blood shed on the earth will be charged to you, from the blood of the righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the sanctuary and the altar. I assure you, all these things are going to come on your generation. And then it simply says, Jesus turned around, he looked at Jerusalem, began to cry. How many of you want to be faithful to God and have him be happy with you? Say amen. Now watch this. I want you to get a little piece of paper, and I want you to write down Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. And then I want you on the other side to write down Matthew chapter 23, verses 13 through 33. These are the woes. And that word woe in the Greek, let me go back over this again with my notes so you'll clearly understand what I'm saying. That word woe in the Greek is got so many notes up here. The word woe in the Greek means a deep mourning that's frustrated. It carries the Greek concept of being frustrated. It carries the concept of being so frustrated that you're bothered emotionally, and that there is judgment coming, and you're trying to keep someone from judgment, but you know they don't care. All right? Now, I want you to notice there were 8 Beatitudes and 8 woes. Okay? And number it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8 on your paper. And over here, go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. But allow some spaces over here so we can sum it up. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, it says, the kingdom of heaven is open to the poor, doesn't it? verse 3. But over here in Matthew 23, look at the first woe. The first woe in Matthew 23 says the kingdom of heaven is shut. This says it's open to the poor. This says it's shut. Look at Matthew 5, verse 4. It says, this is comfort to those that mourn. But look at verse 14 in Matthew chapter 23. This says, mourners are distressed. Look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 5. This says, the meek shall inherit the kingdom of God. But look at verse 15 in Matthew 23. This says, fanatics are full in the earth. This says, the meek shall inherit the earth. Now keep in mind on this journey tonight, this is the first teaching of Jesus, and this is the last teaching of Jesus. Look at verse 6 of Matthew chapter 5. True righteousness is sought by true righteousness. In other words, if you are hungry and thirsty for righteousness, remember that? If you do, say amen. All right? Look at verse 16 through 22 of Matthew 23. And notice that it says that there's a false righteousness that's being sought. There's a false righteousness that's being sought. And there's a cause. And we're going to look at that in just a minute. But if you want to understand the woes, you must understand the Beatitudes. If you want to understand the dangers of the Beatitudes by doing the right thing in the wrong way, study the woes. How many of you would like to please God? Say amen. Now, this is how you please God, through the Beatitudes. This is how you lose God while you're trying to please God. Right here. Wouldn't it suck, and I know that's rough language, but wouldn't it suck to go to church every day of your life and go to hell? I mean, if you're going to go to hell, slide in. You know what I'm saying? I know that's not nice, but it's just the facts. Verse 7 of Matthew 5, it says, blessed are those that are merciful. And he talks about mercy. Now look at verse 23 through 34 over here in Matthew 23. He says, mercy, in essence, has been undone. Matthew chapter 23 through 23 and 34 speaks of mercy being left out of your walk with God. Matthew chapter 23 verse 16 speaks of false righteousness. Doing the right things to look right. Saying the right words. There's some churches you got to dress right to be accepted as righteousness. Doing all the right things, but it's a false righteousness. Verse 15 says that... It says that the meek are going to inherit the earth. This talks about fanaticism inheriting the earth. Verse 14 in verse Matthew 23 says that mourners are stressed out. But Matthew 5 and 2 says that mourners are going to be comforted. In verse 3 of Matthew 23, it says you're going to shut out the poor. But verse 3 of Matthew 5 says the door is open to those that are poor in spirit. Now, look at verse 25 and 26 of Matthew 23. It speaks of purity without an uncleanness within. And the concept is blindness. If you want to be spiritually blind, make sure you look pure on the outside and you're unclean on the inside. Make sure that you look right, you say the right things, you do the right things, you don't cuss, you don't go to dances, you don't see dirty movies. Make sure you never miss church. Make sure everybody sees you pray. Make sure that everything is neat and tidy on the outside, and then secretly hate someone else in the church on the inside. Secretly be prideful. Secretly just have a disdain for humility. And if you have purity on the outside and uncleanness on the inside, you are assured to become a blind man spiritually. If you want your spirit blinded, if you want to become Helen Keller spiritually, make sure you do the right things, never miss church, read the Word of God in public, give and tithe, and be strict in all those areas, and then make sure you have no love on the inside and no holiness that guides your character. And you will become blind. That's what he says here. And in Matthew 23, let's go over here, verse 6. Go back to the Beatitudes. Matthew chapter 5, verse 8 says what? It says that purity, blessed are those that are pure within, for they shall inherit the kingdom of God. It implies in the Greek within. Blessed are, let's look at it. Go there. Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. Go take a look at that. Read it for what it says. Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart. There it is. That's the Greek. Blessed are the pure. Where's your heart? Is it on the outside or the inside? Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed, and so what is he saying? He's saying, blessed are those that are pure within. Blessed are those that are pure within. Buddy, I could preach the gospel tonight on this stuff. Blessed are those that are pure within, for they shall inherit the kingdom of God. And I don't mean to offend you, your great grandmother, your great aunt, but I'm not their pastor, I'm your pastor. Don't write me no letters. You cannot cut your hair. You can baptize in Jesus' name only. You can make sure you never wear makeup as a woman. You never go mixed bathing. You never go to the movies. You can make sure that you only listen to gospel music. You can make sure that you're at church every time the doors open, and you can look pure within. But if your heart's not right, you're going to hell. And so Jesus says to those of you that are serious about this walk with me, blessed are those that are pure in their heart. What does that mean? Blessed are those that are pure within. You can take what's right and do it the wrong way, and you can put it on your arm, which is close to your heart, and put your religion on your outside and make sure that your purity looks good on the outside, but inside let your heart be unclean towards other people. And how do you know your heart's unclean to other people? There's no love, no love in your heart towards other people. No mercy, Aunt Frankie. No grace, no nothing. I just saw you, sweetie. No mercy, no grace, no nothing. And it's on the inside. Be mean to people. Be mean to people in church. Be mean to the nursery workers. And you are going straight to hell. Do you hear me? Because you don't know God as your Savior. Purity, not on your arms, but in your heart. Boy, that's good preaching for a white boy on a Wednesday night. Now, go to verse 7. Go to Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. It says, blessed are those that are the peacemakers. Not the fool that stands in the church lobby and go, well, I would have towed her off too. Blessed are those that are the peacemakers, for they are the sons and the daughters of God. But what does the woe say? Look at Matthew chapter 27, verse 28. You hypocrites, which is someone who likes to act like they're a Christian, which is where the word hypocrite comes from, actor. And you're lawless. You talk about the law of God, but you don't bow to the same rules you put on everybody else. And so it says, blessed are the peacemakers, and woe to the one that acts like they're a peacemaker and they really follow no law at all. And then verse 8 of Matthew chapter 5, verse 10 of Matthew chapter 5 said, blessed are those that are persecuted. Blessed are those that are persecuted. Woe to the one, Matthew chapter 8, that persecutes. That's amazing to me. And so Jesus' first sermon said, blessed are those that are pure, for those is the kingdom of God. Blessed are those that are comfort, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are those that are meek, for they shall inherit the kingdom of God. Blessed are those that seek righteousness and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are those that are merciful. Blessed are those that are purified. Blessed are those that are peacemakers. Blessed are those that are persecuted. You want to know what it looks like to really live for God? It ain't got a dang thing to do with how much hair's on your head or how many times you come to church or how much you tithe. It's got everything to do with whether your heart is connected with God to the point of how you treat other people. But if you want to go to hell, listen up, let me show you how. In the house of God. I'm not talking to the prostitutes. I'm not talking to the adulterers tonight. I'm not talking to the people who can't stop the drug addiction. I'm not talking to the alcoholics that are addicted. I'm not talking about the people who are hypocrites and actors in the house. I'm talking to you people who never miss church. Let me tell you how to go to hell. You can sit here and do the same thing, but rather than be poor in spirit and be humble and teachable, which is the way in which you're promoted in leadership in this church, and I sit around and I watch people for years until I see a servant's heart, and then I ask them to be an elder, or you can shut out the poor, and you can shut out humility in your life, and you can believe your own press reports, and that will send you to hell. You can be comfort those that are mourn and realize that life is not about yourself, or you can be the ones that are distressing the people who are already mourning. You can be a fanatic on earth. You can be full of false righteousness. You can be undue mercy. Turn your head when you see people hurting. Turn your head when God shows you an act of righteousness in His name where you won't get any credit. Turn your head and ignore those that are downcast. Make sure you look good. Honey, baby, you look good on the outside. Make sure if everybody judged you by the way you looked, you're going straight to heaven with straight A's. But then make sure you are racist. Make sure you hate somebody in this church and never make it right. Make sure that you hold animosity against people. Make sure you're unloving, unkind, and make sure you think you're better than everybody else. And honey, darling, Mr. Sir, you are going to hell. And you make sure that you keep your bluff up and never let anybody really know what you're thinking on the inside. Never be vulnerable. Never be authentic. Never ever let anybody see you sweat. And make sure that if the Bible says, blessed are those that mourn, or the Bible says, how can you call yourself a Christian and see a brother in need and not do anything about it? Make sure that when the Bible says tithe, make sure that when the Bible says, if you're saved, you must be baptized in water. And do this. Let me show you how easy it is to go to hell. If you're saved, you must be baptized. Michael, it's time to sign up. He's talking to somebody else. Boy, I really hope I hope this person on the right side of the sanctuary is listening to him tonight, because they really need this. Boy, I wish so-and-so was here. I'm going to tell him to go listen to the podcast. It's so easy to go to hell. Doesn't take much just the right turn. The truth is, God's talking to you tonight. And you have two choices. Faith in sweetness or legalism in harshness. And there's just a hair difference between righteousness and unrighteousness. Just a hair. Can't even see it. Just a hair. Between enter in, well done, and good and faithful servant, for such is the kingdom of God. And depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. The most troubling scripture for me in the Bible that I spend my whole life paying an immense price to be a minister. My family pays the price. It's a huge price. And say, hey. And he looks at me and goes, yeah? Do we know each other? Oh, what do you mean, do we know each other? I've served you for 38 years. I cast out devils in your name 4 times. I've seen thousands saved. I pastor thousands of people. What do you mean? What do you mean? It's Michael. Michael. Michael who? What's the difference? What's the danger? What's the first message? But after you've been in this thing, you've been an elder for 3 years now, what's the danger? Choose you this day whom you're going to serve. Religion or a relationship? Take my yoke upon me, you, because my burden is light, my yoke is easy. The way of a transgressor is hard. Hell, heaven, peace, trouble, life, death. Sermon on the Mount or the 8 woes. You choose.
We pray that you were blessed by this message. For more information about Covenant Community Church, please contact us at media@covenantcc.net or visit us online at covenantcc.net.